We give you great praise for the privilege that we have to say your name, to speak of your salvation, to remember your handiwork, to glorify you. Thank you. Thank you. For you numbered us in yourself. You foreknew us when we were yet feeble and as seeds of eternity. And you, by an act of your sovereign will, decided to choose us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. I took my time to pray today. And while I was in prayer, listen to me, listen, hallelujah, while I was in prayer, I was taken in the spirit. It's a prophetic experience that doesn't happen very often, for God to take you into the past. I've been to the past a few times. What is wrong with what you are playing is the sound. That's not the sound. Change the sound. I've been to the past a few times. I saw my bed when I was being born. Because there were several issues that were going on in my life. I had to have adequate information in order for me to be empowered sufficiently to deal. Stop. Take some time to pray. Hallelujah. In order for me to be empowered sufficiently to deal with some things that were around the corridor of my life, God, by an act of His mercy, decided to catch me into the past, and He gave me the privilege to see several things. And when I saw the things that I did not know, prosecuting the issues that bedeviled me became easy. Today, I was taken into the past in the spirit. And I beheld the covenants that were made before this campus was established. I saw a door. Because that door was opened because there was a curse that was released. And the object of this curse is that in every cyclical generation, one of the prime people that stands for God to proclaim Jesus will be killed. And I remember in our time, there was a passionate man of God. He was studying political science. He started a platform. A platform of ministry. And it came to pass that the cruel hands of death seized him in his final year. He was just about to finish his program, and Satan stole him. We never knew that these patterns were orchestrated by things that were set in motion even before this academic civilization came into this piece of real estate. I saw that door. The second door that I saw, which was also a curse, a spiritual person in darkness was mobilized to utter that curse. And that curse has to do with a cyclical generation. You find a very anointed man struggling terribly with his academic. The curse was set in motion. The third thing I saw was when we graduated. Because some of us were here 20 years ago. And some of you were not born yet then. I saw an altar that was raised to the spirit of sexual perversion. And that altar, can you leave my sound? I'm doing very well. That altar is on the second campus. It's this way. And I saw a degenerate plant grow, a plant that was not, that was so strange. I saw it began to take root and began to grow. And the reason for my announcement is because somewhere in this service, Jesus will come here. Now, it's not a prayer. Listen. Listen to me. When you listen to 9 o'clock news, you don't say amen. I'm casting news. I was caught up in the spirit today. So I'm casting news from whence I was taken. The Lord Jesus said he will come this evening. When he comes into this place, then he will give me the authority to close the doors. And after today, it will never be heard in BSU that someone that served Jesus died in active service. I know that the population of lesbians on this campus is about 600 people. Now listen to me. That degenerate plant, it will be uprooted today. Yes. The altar that creates a spiritual platform for his presence will fall during the course of this meeting, somewhere along the line. Listen, there will be people that will manifest this night that are not here. They will manifest in the hostel. Some of you will go back to the hostel and see something this night. Yes. The power of God will be at work for 8 hours. 8 hours. It's a privilege to be numbered in Jesus. It was through him that we stumbled upon our God-ordained destiny. It is by him that we have received grace and apostleship. Turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus will come tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. You join me in 15 minutes time. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14. This was one of the few scriptures in the Bible that was quite difficult for the Apostle Paul to bring perspective about. He had to employ very technical words from the standpoint of the foundational linguistic operating system in order for him to sufficiently communicate the mind of God. I want us to begin from there because the emphasis of the Lord this night is tied to the scripture, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise. Have you seen that there is he also himself? Now that's the linguistic challenge. Now what existed in the Greek foundation There was no English word in the entire English language to bring to light what the apostle was trying to communicate. So there were several things that were lost in transit. Are you still with me? Oh. Hallelujah. Now, let me make an announcement. There are two things I want to beg of you. First thing is, ensure that your cell phone is switched off. Now, if your cell phone is on, just bring it out, switch it off. Please. I'm begging. I'm on the begging side. We don't know when again Jesus will decide to walk to this campus the way he's determined to walk to this campus tonight. So let's not frustrate his coming. So if your handset, your cell phone is on, we have 5 minutes to do that. We have 5 minutes to do that. While we seize this opportunity to appreciate everyone that has been laboring behind the scene, Campus New Nation, FCS, all the functionaries of these two great ministries, we offer appreciation in the name of Jesus Christ. And we said, the Lord will continue to do great works in your midst. In Jesus' name. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. I don't know if we can go beyond this one verse. But let's add another verse to it. And to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hallelujah. Stay with me. The Bible says, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Are you with me? Stay with me. I want to teach for 20 minutes. I want to teach for 20 minutes, so lend me your ears. The Bible says that the children are partakers of flesh and blood. The word partakers in original Greek language is the word koinonia, which means fellowship. Are you with me? What that scripture is saying is that there is a fellowship that exists between your flesh and your blood. We cannot take blood out of your veins without tampering with flesh. We cannot tamper with flesh and not spill blood. So there is this intricate fellowship, intricate koinonia that exists between your flesh and your blood. And the Bible reveals that that was how humankind was designed. Humankind was designed with a compatibility between flesh and blood. But in the case of Jesus, are you still with me? In the case of Jesus, because the Bible says he himself likewise partook of the same. That's tautology. Because the scripture would have said he partook of the same. Himself partook of the same. You see, there's some form of struggle in that place, because the word that was used has no English representation. And that word is metiko. And what that means is that Jesus, his reality was concealed by the garment of flesh and blood. Meanwhile, for humankind, there is a relationship between
your flesh and your blood. Jesus was not flesh and blood. Jesus was covered. His reality was concealed by flesh and blood. You will notice in the book of Hebrews, if we want to touch the reality of Jesus, everyone that saw Jesus naturally ate with Jesus did not know Jesus, because Jesus was concealed by the garment, the regalia of flesh and blood that he wore. They had no advantage being close to Jesus physically, because everybody that got to know about Jesus had to know him by a revelation. And that was why when Jesus was administering a questionnaire about who people said he was, all the answers that came from diaspora were wrong. And he decided to reduce the scope of the administration of the questionnaire to people that have been with him for a very long time. And in fear of failure, there was pitch silence until Peter spoke. And Peter did not speak by experience, he spoke by revelation. Because the reality of Jesus was concealed in the regalia of flesh and blood that he wore. And so if you are going to touch Jesus, you need to go beyond flesh, you need to go beyond blood, you need to be guided by the Spirit to touch his reality. You need to be guided by the Spirit to touch his reality. You remember John, the beloved? When he arrived at the Isle of Patmos, if there was anybody that knew Jesus, he was that disciple that was close to Jesus, puts his head on Jesus' breast, and there were many things about Jesus' secrets that he communicated to John. It was John that Jesus committed his earthly murder to while he was on the cross. And there was no prior arrangement. They didn't discuss it behind the scene. As the event overtook them, Jesus on the cross had to make way for that woman. So an impromptu arrangement was made, and it was John that he committed his earthly murder to. Notice at this time all the other guys are taken off like tornadoes. But only John was around. Saw his friend to the end. Hallelujah. But on the Isle of Patmos, when John encountered Jesus, Jesus had to reintroduce himself to John. Because the revelation that John was operating with, was working with, about Jesus was time-based. He still referred to him as Jesus of Nazareth. And so the immortal had to educate him further and to introduce himself to him that I am Alpha Omega. There's no and in the Greek rendering. I am Alpha Omega the same time. That's not a frame of reference that can be understood and captured by time and space. It's an eternity-based orientation. Now, let me give you an example. How many of you know Benny Hinn? All right. You know his program on TBN, This Is Your Day. Every episode of This Is Your Day you watched was 2 weeks old. Takes 2 weeks of post-production to get that quality out the way you see it. So wonderful. The lights are tempered. The environment is sweet. Everything, the sound is mastered. It takes 2 weeks to do that. And one of those times, Benny Hinn was on a crusade in Dubai. He couldn't come back for studio time. And the guy, the production manager in TBN, had to call him. Okay, now you're out of town. We don't have a new tape. What are we going to do with your slot? They say, use an old tape. So the guy at random picked an old tape. And when the tape began to play, he now discovered that he made a mistake. It was unprofessional for him to have chosen the tape that he selected for that broadcast. And the reason was because in that broadcast, there was a very specific word of knowledge that Benny Hinn gave about a woman that was called Phoebe, that was wearing yellow and that was in her sitting room on a couch watching him, and she had cancer. And Benny Hinn ministered to the cancer patient on that tape. So it was not professional for you to shoot a tape that had such specific ministration. Hallelujah. Like if you are going on air and what you are doing is live. Are you here? Let's say you are going on Praise the Lord and it's live. They normally instruct you, they educate you in the green room, and they say, don't pray for the sick. Yes, they'll tell you things like that. Just in case the person you pray for doesn't get healed and is lying. Did it out. So they give you some stage ethics to save your face and to save the face of the ministry. If you are still here, say amen. Amen. Alright, so there are little ethics that accompany broadcasting. And the guy had done something that is unethical by bringing in a tape that had a very specific kind of ministration. Well, this tape was already rolling, so he could not change it. And at the end of the day, 15 minutes after the tape had finished playing, a woman now calls in. She's crying. She says she's the Phoebe that Benny Hinn spoke about. She was just diagnosed with cancer 2 weeks ago. She was wearing yellow shirt. How did he see her? How did he see her? Meanwhile, Benny Hinn was far away in Dubai. Now the question is, was that an old tape? I'm just trying to... Oh my. Was it old? That's what Alpha Omega is. It's a realm of existence that if you have a tool to trap, if you can trap it in a tool, you trap it by tape, you trap it by video, it maintains the same potency. There are a lot of testimonies I've received of people that listened to my tape and began to speak in tongues. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, when we were doing cable ministry, before we stopped briefly, a woman from Mina that was a Muslim was listening to the broadcast and she began to speak in tongues. She never said a sinner prayer. So the alleging husband had to call us on the numbers on the screen and was asking what kind of witchcraft we used to bind the wine. Meanwhile, those tapes, some of them were 6 months old. But what it contained is alive. It doesn't wear out. So Jesus was trying to introduce himself to John. He said, I am a perpetual continuum. That your time-based fickle revelation doesn't hold where immortals are mentioned. Jesus had to straighten him out before he gave him the ministry for prophetic writing. The result of that encounter was that John was given, ushered into the next phase of his ministry where he was supposed to write about the past, the present, and the future. That prophetic writing ministry never came until his beveled revelation of Jesus was straightened out. And he was brought into the understanding of the eternal scope of things, that Jesus was never created, so he could never be destroyed. He is the pioneer of the order of things that is after the path of the everlasting. So John had to make a lot of adjustments. In fact, when the revelation was being released to John, John fell down like a dead man. And he, who is life, had to quicken him again. His brain couldn't. So that was the kind of surgery that John had to go through in order for him to be equipped for the next phase of ministry. Are you still with me? If you are still here, say amen. Amen. So the reality of Jesus was concealed by the regalia of the flesh that he wore. And the Bible reveals that the reason why Jesus had to be brought to that demeaning position of putting on the regalia of the flesh is so that through death, that means this member of the Godhead that had omni powers, on the strength of the fact that he had worn the garment of flesh, his omni powers were suspended from him. Now, think about it. I want you to think about it. because he put on this garment of flesh, he was no longer everywhere at the same time. He was localized. Because he put on this garment of the flesh, it was possible for him to be hungry. It was possible for him to be thirsty. It was possible for him to be tired. His civilization changed. Now, I don't think you are getting this. Now, let me try. Now, imagine that you as complex... What did you read, Pastor? What? Mascom. Now, if we take all of you, your brain, your everything, and then put it in the body of an ant. Now, notice that the ant can't speak. So, this your... I know the way you talk. That ant will have to devise another means of expression, which is not talking. So, what we are going to expect is that so many of your attributes will be lost in transit. Is that true? But in the case of Jesus, he changed body. But all the attributes of God were still maintained. He was still the best advertisement of God ever. The best definition of God given to humankind. That's the mystery of godliness. That's the power of the mystery of incarnation. But the reason why he had to put on this garment of flesh was so that through death, because when he put on this garment, just like I said, it was possible for him to be hungry. So when he was speaking at the well with that woman of Samaria, he was actually thirsty and he needed water. Are you with me? So it was also possible for him to die in the flesh. And the reason why he took on that regalia was so that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death. You may sit, Pastor. That's what we call the war of thrones. It's fought by wisdom, not by brute strength. Two kingdoms were at war. And each kingdom of which I speak has a unique expression of itself. For instance, the kingdom of God is identified, the hallmark, the indicator of the kingdom of God is that anywhere it is found, there is life. That kingdom carries life along. But the kingdom of darkness, anywhere it is found, it carries death along. So the identity of the kingdom of darkness happens to be death. Now, when we say death, many people think what we mean is an event. The Bible happens to have a different perspective on the subject of death. Because as far as the Bible is concerned, death is attached to a personality. And so the Bible says, he also likewise partook of the same, that he through death might destroy him. Somebody say him that had the power of death, which is the devil. Death is not an event. Death is not a thing. Death is a personality. You know, so in the Garden of Eden, you discover that God came and created an ecosystem. He wanted to grow a life, to grow a community, an existence. And the hallmark of that community that God was trying to grow is the personality called man. That he gave the powers, the capacity to be able to enjoy the unbroken circle of the love that he had in himself all the way through eternity to the time where God decided to subject himself to the enterprise of creation. One of the dangers that was God decided to expose himself to when he created man, a free moral agent. Are you still with me? There's a danger. And the danger is because the modus operandi of man is that he is governed by a sovereign will. Man has a will that he can exercise. Angels have wills that they can exercise. Now, one of the intents of God is that God didn't want robots. For instance, are you with me? If I have an opportunity to fornicate and I refuse by an act of my choice to fornicate because of God, that is worship. Worship is never in view if there is no alternative. Are you with me? Because somebody here might be asking, oh, Pastor, how is it that God, that happens to know the end from the beginning, that knew that Adam was going to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now decided to put that tree there? Pastor, do they ask those kind of questions in church? All right. You know, they have gone to school. Some of them are studying physics. So they are trying to use their brain to contend with the pastor. What we are not seeing is the layout of a kingdom. And in this kingdom, every being that God created that happens to have a will was tested. It was in the test that angels were tested, that a quadrant of those angels failed the test. Paul was on the basis of a failure of a test that God gave to angels because they had a will. Every angel that fell was an angel that exercised his will contrary to the will of God. And if angels were tested, humankind also will have to be tested. And that's why that tree happens to be in the midst of the garden. So that every one of us will be placed in a position where you will have to exercise your sovereign will. What we were not told was that the direction from whence you exercise your will determine your lines of development. I said that the proof, you know, the Bible calls that fruit tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. That's a convenient way of saying death. There are only two options left. One tree is called the tree of life. The other one is what? The tree of death. But it's a convenient way. Because this death, are you with me? You are not with me. This death of which I speak is not an event. In fact, the way God spoke about death in the book of Genesis was that death was a process. Something that the protocol of a season. In the day that he eat of this fruit, God said to Adam when he was trying to educate him, you shall surely die. In Hebrew it reads, in dying he shall die. Because the way it is rendered in English, you think it's an instantaneous thing. But the way it's rendered in the Hebrew, it actually reveals a process. There is a starting material that initiates the protocol of death. And death begins to gain dominion, begins to gain space, begins to gain perspective, begins to subdue, begins to dominate until the entire protocol of death is accomplished and the will of death comes to pass. Angels were tested. We were not told the test that all the other angels were tested, but the Bible, through a prophetic vision that Isaiah had, revealed how Lucifer was tested. When you talk Lucifer in the courts of angels, that's the angel that has the highest rank. No angel in the quadrant of the throne room ever had as much rank as Lucifer had. His names were many. He was called the anointed cherub that covers. That's a guardian. You know, we have guardian angels. We have watchers in the community of angels. We have warriors in the community of angels. We have angels that transmit information. We have angels in the book of Zechariah that take measurements. They are always measuring. They have a measuring tape. When you begin to pray and gain mileage in the spirit, they measure your new territory. Then when you commit for fornication and hold a woman's breast, they will have to measure again. They are kept employed because of how inconsistent we have been. So they are kept employed, the measuring angels. If I don't have time to take you to scripture, I would have taken you to the book of Ezekiel and showed you how God measures nations and territories, and how he numbers men and the numbering system of heaven, and what occasions God to say, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect another? So they keep measuring. So in the conduct of angels, there is no angel, never, no angel that was ever called anointed. Bible calls him the anointed cherub that covereth. The Bible says that he's the one that walks up and down, to and fro in the midst of the coals of fire. So there's a kind of fire. There are flames, coals in heaven. And then angels walk on it. But he, when he walks on it, to and fro, what happens to him is that he begins to glow. He gives out light. That's why he got his name, the light bearer, Lucifer. Because there was light trapped in his vessel. He was a shining one. He was a luminous one. That's where they got the name Illuminati. The Bible called him the perfection of beauty. So in terms of symmetry, alignment, in terms of orientation, perfection, he was. If you see him, you don't need a dictionary definition of perfection. The lines, the alignments. That was the perfection of beauty. In all God's works, he allowed little errors. But when Lucifer was to be created, he said, this one will be the imagery of perfection. So when he glows on Zion, when he glows, you know, every archangel was created to reflect a side of God. Every archangel. Have you heard of the scripture that says God dwells in the light wherein no man can approach? Have you read that scripture? Alright, so he dwells in light. Have you read the scripture that says God is light and in him there is no darkness at all? Now, so can you imagine light dwelling in light? Lucifer was the archangel created to illustrate that light that God is. Michael was that archangel created to illustrate the strength of God. When you see Michael, you don't need a dictionary to know what strength is. His presence can blot out rivers. His light can blot out the intensity of the sun. Michael, if you see him, he's strength personified. That's what his name means, strength. But it came to pass when the angels were tested that even the great Lucifer, he chose something else other than the will of God. Now listen, Lucifer was created in a way where the musical instruments were fitted into his framework. If you know anything about music at all, it's the combination of wind and string instruments. This keyboard you are seeing is a string instrument. I heard something like a trumpet that they were not blowing properly. Somewhere, the person was hiding. That's a wind instrument. So it's a combination of wind and string. And if you check on the framework of Lucifer, you will see tabrets and pipes, wind and string instruments. When Lucifer comes into the presence of God, with the anointing he has, he can discern the mood of God. And on the strength of the understanding of that mood, he produces sound that is consistent with God's mood. And notice, he's a cherub. And the duties of cherubims is that they protect the glory of God. When God begins to blow, it's the cherubim that protects it.
so that his glowing is contained. I don't have time today. So there are times that God glows. Seraphims protect his holiness. Cherubims protect his glory. If you come and insult God, cherubims are the creatures that will insist that you must be punished, because they are zealous entities. When you hear that Herod was struck and worms ate him up, it was the cherubim's work. They are zealous for God. The cherubims can only minister to people that are zealous for God. So you see people like Daniel that continued his prayer, even though a decree was given that nobody should petition any other God other than the king. And Daniel continued with zeal. Those are the kind of men that cherubs can stand with. Cherubs are custodians of secrets. I don't have time. Now, listen. That was the kind of power that he had. But when they were tested, Lucifer chose something else. He coveted a throne that was in Zion. He said, "We will exalt his throne above the stars of God." He wants to ascend into Zion, God's administrative headquarters. He wanted to be like God. That's how he fell. And many angels fell with him. So if angels were tested, men too, humankind, will have to be tested. Adam was not the only person that was tested. Right now in your pilgrimage, you are being tested. You are tested today. That's why those angels have work to do. Yesterday you made the right choices and you gained territory. They'll measure it. Say, "This is the level now." And then you now go and your old you. You now, the old cigarette stick, you threw all away. Only one was left. And in the midst of depression, the GP had dropped. You looked for it again. And you, in the dark, the angels had to come and. Not everybody that is part of your fellowship will be great. You people are wearing tie here. We have had presidents before, stronger, tougher than you, that became nothing. Because at the end of the day, it will be left for you to make a choice. I've stopped looking at the faces of people and thinking that they are spiritual. Time is the only thing that can tell what you choose. Time. If revival has tarried, it is because your life did not reveal Jesus enough. You know, we like titles. I'm president. They don't know that you are lost. I've been to campuses around Nigeria. The only states I've never been to is Borno, Yobe, and I think Borno, Yobe. I've gone everywhere. I met revivals in the east, in the corners, in the west, in the south. I just came back from Archipoli, crying for God. There's a revival in Nigeria. Then I come back to the campus where I finished. I came to tell you, there's something more than being president. There's something more than taking a title, being recognized in fellowship. These vanities have made people choose the wrong choices. So you may ask, "Pastor, why did God allow those, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" It was a test, because he created us with a sovereign will, and your lines of development will be determined by the choices that you get to make. The Bible says that Jesus decided to wear human flesh like a garment, and the reason why he did that was so that through death he can destroy him that has the power of death, which is the devil. that in the Garden of Eden, God was trying to help man not to sin, because sin was the passcode into the economy of death. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. I'm talking about sin, whether you are a president or an usher, whether you are an unbeliever or a believer. If you touch sin, what you are doing is that you have pressed the button for the protocol of death to begin to take place in your life. Death spreads like a cancer. Death takes a process to accomplish its protocol. Oh my. I still remember some stories just like yesterday. A great preacher of the gospel. There was this lady, we knew she was possessed with a very bitter spirit. Not bad spirit. A bad plus bitter spirit. Because she was an agent of the devil. And if it's as if you are beginning to gain some mileage in the spirit, she becomes your friend. Oh my, she serves you. Hey. And I remember this great preacher. Wonderful preacher. Strong preacher. But suddenly I started seeing him with his sister. Because she's in church. She never gave her life to Christ at any time. Because when I met her many years after graduation, she was still a free thinker. Okay, so, but she does church things. Most of the churches in this town, she has been choir member. Yes. And she brought those churches down. One lady. I don't have time and I will not say those things here. May the Lord give you understand. This our great preacher had some form of sexual relations with this lady. And she is so bitter in the ordinations of darkness that if you transgress in that way, the oil of God will not come upon you again. This young man became dry. He became an object of attack from demons and devils. And that's how many of them in our time were slain by this lady. Many of them. But see, at the end of the day, that protocol never began until there was a choice. How many of you have ever experienced spiritual dryness before? I have. That was a protocol of death. You might minister powerfully today and then tomorrow you are dry. It means you are short of the Holy Ghost. It's an emergency. You have to look for Him. Because it is only Him that is the spirit in the spirit realm that can quicken. The flesh profits nothing. You can cover up for a long time. But if the Holy Ghost is not there, it will soon be obvious that thing that quickens you, that gives you a spark, because the proof of the kingdom of God is life, rejuvenation. If there is no life, it means you have a pact with death. You don't need to go too far to know what is the cause of this dryness. I have watched many heavy men, many an anointed men that came down because of choices. The protocol of death began to work. And once upon a time, a mighty preacher of this campus, I saw him with cigarettes. In Abuja, in a bank, Access Bank, Central Business District, he was flowing on cigarette. He had a shaft, his haircut had a shaft haircut. That was an evangelist. That was a man of fire. But he ended up with cigarette. You know what he told me? He said, "So me, I'm still striving to go to heaven." That means they have. Their civilization have taken them beyond the hope that we have in Christ, beyond this age. That's death. When it begins to walk out that protocol, it will use your vocal cord to preach antichrist philosophies. It's death that is at work. You must be sensitive to identify when death is beginning to speak, because death has a voice. Death has a lifestyle. Death has circumstances, it has seasons, it has times, it has a gestation period. Satan might come there's something pleasurable that he seems to be offering. But what he's actually offering is death. I remember a classmate of mine. You know, those days I studied chemistry. So this guy was a chemist. He was my classmate. They were the ones that pioneered black arts on this campus. I mean, those were the days where blood flowed here. It's either you are a cultist or you are very sold out to God. There was no middle line those days. You can become a chicken that will be used for sacrifice if you don't have any destination. All the middle liners suffered heavily. You know, in Rama, the Bible says Rachel was weeping for her children and she could not be comforted because what? There were no more. That was a day where it was a crime to be a baby. It's always a crime for you to be a spiritual baby. When thrones fight, it is you that suffers. They use you to balance accounts, use you to settle disputes, and babies die. Since the headsmen started attacking, have you heard that any anointed man of God was swept? I was in Kano during the riot, and I can tell you firsthand, it's a very hard thing for somebody to die. Yes, I can tell you. I've been caught up in riots. Death knows where it goes. It's not, we are not all afraid. No, we are not all afraid. There are places that the headsmen can't go. They are sorcerers. They are astrologers. They map. They are trackers. When they see incense burning, they change course. They don't like to fight battles that they are not likely to win. The only way we will save Nigeria is by priesthood. In those days, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a strong nation. Hallelujah. Death. I've seen death manifest in different seasons. And the Bible says that Jesus had to put on the regalia of flesh so that he might destroy him that has the power of death. Listen, 2009, December 25th, I went to church. After going to church, I came back home. That was the first day after a long time that I wore the suit I wore for my wedding. I wanted to remember that high day, and I put on that white suit I wore to church in remembrance of that moment when I took a damsel to the altar. Hallelujah. When I came back home, strange people were knocking my door, and I asked them, if you see the owner of this house, will you recognize him? But obviously they didn't know that I was the owner of the house. So I said, by any means, do you know the person you are looking for? Since they didn't know, I went inside and I started sleeping. Meanwhile, at that time, I was on vacation. All right? And my desire was to play with the members of my house, play with my son. Hallelujah. Play with my wife. That's work. Serious work. I wanted to be committed to that. And then suddenly people are knocking my door. And I was on vacation from the altar. And they asked me, those people knocking, can you help them? I said, no, it's not about whether I can help them. They came at the wrong time. So their case, only God can solve it. So the people that I took vacation to come and spend time with now release me to go and help. So I now ask, what are we even talking about here? They say their son is in the psychiatric ward. I said, that's not news. Their people have been there. I've always known that place to be full of people. So that's one more person that joined them. Shouldn't be a problem to the city.
Hallelujah. They say the thing about his about this case is that there's a story to it. A story? Okay, what's the story? The story is that the guy joined the court. He joined debt. And you see, there are many courts in Makurdi. Kasinala Street. There are homosexual courts, lesbian courts. Just like I told you, there are about 600 lesbians in your school. And that altar, we are going to pull it down this night. Mark my word, after the service, some people will be manifesting the host. Just be patient. Hallelujah. Alright, the guy joined the court. And when the spirit that was in the court appeared, they were waiting for the spirit for about 14 days. Invoking, they would do the ritual, invoke the spirit, they don't come. On the 14th day, the spirit now came and said, I've been busy. Oh, you are the new ones. Okay. In order for you to prove your commitment, he gave them tasks to fulfill. That guy, the task that was given to him was that he should go and sleep with his mother. What is that? Debt. You see, debt has a way. Debt has a protocol. Debt has a philosophy. Debt has an ideology. Debt. I met a lady the other day that the dad slept with because the dad had to do that to qualify to join a certain power cult. Yes. And that creature, that lady, oh my God, played host to several strange devils because that was perversion. And she didn't live too long thereafter because it was debt. Death has its ideology, it has its protocol, it has its philosophy, it has its doctrine. And so it came to pass when his own task was meted out to him, he began to try to set traps for the mother. You see, that thinking alone is death in thought form. Alemo Siala Kambo, trying to set trap. I wonder, where was he facing? Was it like this he was facing? Or he was facing like this too? Sleep with the mother. No, don't be disgusted. No, that's debt. That's debt. Debt is not just, it's not an event. No, it's a personality bringing his dominion. He will sell his ideology, sell his philosophy, sell his lifestyle. And in the fullness of time, when the gestation period is accomplished, it culminates in you being deposited in a place where the range of the presence of God is not available. So that you can live outside of God's sphere permanently. There was something that Satan did not tell Eve about that tree. About that fruit, there was something. You know, God said, in the day that you eat of this fruit, ye shall surely die. But when the devil came, what did the devil say? Ye shall not surely die. Oh, you know, the Bible calls God the fountain of life. All right, it's the source of all life. So the definition of death is an existence that is apart from God. That's what death is. It's not the cessation of life. Are you with me? In any way, any mode, any fashion that you can exist apart from God, it is death working out its protocol in your own unique specimen. And so the devil was now telling him that, see, you are not aware. The spirit realm is vast. What God was saying is, when you eat of this fruit, you will die to him. You will no longer be connected to him. You will be dead to him. But you will be alive to me. You will be dead to his knowledge. But there are several depths of knowledge that are not in God, that are in me, that you can learn. It is from the lexicon
of that knowledge that comes when you subscribe to death, that he was able to download the word naked from. The word naked was not in the lexicon of life. And so when Adam said, I heard your voice walking in the garden, and I hid myself because I was afraid, knowing that I'm naked. What did God say? Who told you? You were not supposed to know that kind of word. Naked? There is nothing like that in the regions of life.
Have you eaten?
That means you have been opened up to a portal of knowledge that is not in the island of life. It is in that portal of knowledge that people downloaded the articles of witchcraft, necromancy, perversion. I saw a young man, he sleeps with rams, he waits for night. The demons.
Oy, the pastor's work is strange work.
People go and do something, commit trespass, go outside of permissible regions, limits, and embrace shadow men. Creatures that mortals should never know. And then the protocol of that embrace begins to produce a civilization. And then when the civilization overwhelms them, overwhelms their wisdom, the wise one now crawls to pastor. And pastor must have a magic wand that he waves over afflictions. May God help pastors. In the name of Jesus Christ. The guy was looking for an opportunity to sleep with his mother. And he was given 14 days to accomplish the task. He set traps for her. Tried to drug her. Tried to put some organic drugs in the food. Right? So that she would just pass out. Then he can do his darkness. But all his measures did not work out. But on the 12th day, he called the mother. He said, can we take a walk? He said, Mama, I joined something. And when I joined the team, they said I should sleep with you as a sign of my commitment. I have not succeeded thus far. Something will happen to me in 2 days' time. It will be your own responsibility, since I refuse to ensure that I'm brought out of anything it is, if it is not death. If it's death, you are free from this oath I want you to take. Because me, I took an oath with Satan. I need to take another oath with my mother. It was through you that my life came here. So I think a bargain with you will not be bad. So the mom had to take an oath that she will not sleep, she will not rest until that thing is reversed. That is, if the result is not death. Have you ever been in a situation where one of the possibilities people are contemplating about you is that you might be dead? That was where the young man was. He was in the balance. He never knew that little choice he made was opening him up to an entire realm. Personalities he was not supposed to collide with at all, because that personality came out of the river, this river. After 14 days of invocation, the personality showed up. Oh, you guys are playing host to a mighty portal here. Oh, you may not know how ladies started dressing naked on this campus. I have the chronicles. We were there. Those days, the best of ladies, they wear slippers to class. Who were still coming out of the Stone Age when we came here to study. You know what I'm talking about. We're coming out of the Stone Age. Then there was this lady. We don't know her origin. He showed up on campus for a season, for one semester. She will wear brassiere and jeans, hot pants, every evening, and then she floats around like that. She must enter every lecture room where they are reading. The next semester,
All the ladies adjusted their dresses. She pioneered the dimension. Is it dead as apostles that can engineer civilizations? And many gullible people are just victims. May the Lord give us understanding. Some of us were there when it all began. And we tried, we prayed, we interceded, only to discover that there was a massive portal that was open, a gate that was open from this landscape. And there were creatures. There was a lady that some guys slept with that time. She was not human. It was up when they finished, because they were doing turn by turn. When they finished, oh, you guys didn't hear the story. It happened in our time. There were porters. Creatures came out of this place. You come to a school like this, you need to find out the origin, how it started, things that happened here. You came to look for sociology certificate, you will meet something deeper. If God does not help you, the protocol of death, in his own unique expression, will begin to find expression in your life. And this guy made a mom to take a note. If I don't die, may it be your responsibility to seek for my restoration. And that was why, you know, the people I'm talking about now, it's those people, it's Pastor Tena that sent them to my house, so they didn't even know how I looked like. I said, okay, now who led you here? Because it's obvious you don't know me. I said, Pastor Tena. So I called him. I said, there are some strange individuals in my house, and they claim you sent them. You say, ah, I know them. Oh, please help them. I said, all right. At least I have a link. There's a reason now. Because there's no reason for me to be this. I got to go on. It's not everywhere Jesus went. When the Bible says he went about doing good, not everywhere. He went about. Not went everywhere. Not everywhere. I said, all right, I put my suit down. Change my garment. Let's go to psychiatric ward. And we got there. And I saw an environment with the heaviest density of demons I've ever seen in my entire practice as a minister of the gospel. The density was so intense. So, and I said, okay, which one is your own? They started looking in the place. Jesus, you need to see what people were doing. Human beings, what death had made a man, that image was reduced. It didn't look like the image of God. See what human beings were doing in that place. When we located this guy, guess what he was doing? He would take his head, hit the concrete. Take his head, hit the concrete. Take his head, hit the concrete. That was how he was worshiping. There were different modes of worship. You will see strange worship. He's only in death. It was an island of death. In all his vicious expressions. And I wondered, what could make a man like this? I asked for his name. I won't mention his name. He may be your relative. So it's good to be confidential on these matters. And I mentioned his name. And said, come out of him. You know what happened? There was manifestation all through the world. Yes. People began to manifest. Male and female. And when the nurses came, it was not the demons they drove out. It was me. I was packaged, bundled. They cast me out. The nurses kept the devils. They called it pathology. That is pathology. They were taming devils, taming demons. But when the preacher came, what did they do? They cast the preacher. Wrote a report about my coming and said there was a change in pathology. That's what they wrote. Pathology change. I respect what you study. But the name of that thing is called demons. And as you are going into the world of medicine, go with medicine on your left hand and healing on your right.
Hallelujah.
There's a time to put pathology down and say, come out in Jesus' name. You know, my father in the Lord was the first medical doctor, a consultant of internal medicine that resigned. The first medical doctor that resigned and went full time into ministry is my father in the Lord in Nigeria. Internal medicine, you know, book. He's a bookworm, he's a scholar. But the call is stronger than the books. Today he has medicine on his left hand and he has healing on his right. I said, that's how Jesus was. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They cast me out of the world. And they cast me with warnings and threats that I should not disturb the delicate balance of the demons. Hallelujah. I saw a place where death was managed in all its forms. And when we came out of the clinic, we sat outside. Then I told the family, I said, if you want your boy to be free, tell them to discharge him. That's where the problem started. Because the uncle from the village was there, was like about 70 something. He said, how will a small boy that doesn't have beard come and advise us? Elders. That was the problem. He was judging by sight. He was trying to understand me after the flesh. Hallelujah. They labored there till 4 p.m. After 4 p.m., the woman said, I take responsibility for my son. I'm going to sign the discharge papers. So without the consent of those elders, she went and signed and they discharged him. I said, when you discharge him, take him to the tent. Who? Was it you I called? There were two people. I called two people. I said, follow me. When they brought the boy, we went. And as I wanted to minister to the boy, the angels that walked with me, one of them touched my hand. That one normally touches this hand. When it touches the hand, it means I'm here. I've come. There's one that touches me here. And that one started touching me here 2 years ago. Like this evening, he touched me here. See? That's the one that does miracles. There will be a notable miracle this evening. Touch me. Hallelujah. So the one that stands this way, this is the one that makes people fall. The one here, it changes organs. The one here gives visions, opens the eyes. So there are three of them. Sometimes there are more, but those three are standing in front. Those are the days when I'm ministering, then I'm getting weak. It means there's somebody that's supposed to die that God is feeding with life. And we came and it took till 4 p.m. in the evening. Then I brought the guy to the tent. So we got to the tent. And I laid hands on him and I began to speak in tongues. And I spoke in tongues for 13 minutes. And the guy that had not slept for 14 days slept in my bed. So I laid him down. Told them to go and buy Lucozade. When he wakes up, they should give him a shot of Lucozade. And then the elder that was counseling them, that the boy that doesn't have beard. And I went to that elder. And I said, you need to repent for what you were saying under that tree. Meanwhile, I was not there. You have to repent. Lest the very power that quickened this young man will judge you. Don't be running your mouth like that. Hallelujah. Then I left. The young man slept for 4 hours. Woke up. And when he woke up, he said, whoa! Why is my shirt smelling? They were just looking at me. My trouser is smelling because I've been urinating on his body for 14 days. Pooing on his body. Urinating on his body and worshipping with what? With his forehead. They gave him Lucozade as directed. He became hungry. He ate. Serious. I said, no, don't feed him too much. Now that you are awake, you are in Jesus' clinic. We ministered Holy Ghost. He began to speak in tongues. I said, the demons will come back. Before they come, we need to teach you how to fight. That was the day he did his first night vigil. Koromo Sile Kabo Kamata. Rejuvenation had come. So we had to begin to teach him the culture of life. The culture of life demands that you speak in tongues regularly and fast often. Please help me preach that quick message to your neighbor. The culture of life demands that you pray regularly and fast often. I was doing my youth service and I knew that I needed direction for after youth service. So I took up a fast. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 month, 2 months, 2.5, 3 months, 3.5, 4 months, 4.5, 5 months, 5.5, 6 months, 6.5, 7 months, 7.5, 8 months, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Then an angel appears. And that angel told me what we are doing today. He said, I will give you a job. You invest in many destinies and a great network. A great network. When he said network, I didn't know what network was. Shall be formed. You may not like me. There's nothing you can do about me. The powers that ordained this day, all right? Those powers will not consult men before they speak. I've seen people before that claim that these small boys are just talking, Pastor. If you have met small boys that talk, it's not us. We, Jesus, called us. Yes, he appears to us, gives us update on our work with him. Those kind of statements, you can make it for other people and go free. If you make it for some of us, you walk in darkness for a long time. Because there are powers that accompany us. We did not ask for it. It's part of the calling. As long as we bow down to Jesus, Satan will bow to us. Hallelujah. Your school. You were not... Maybe you were on campus. Maybe you didn't know. The greatest persecution I had was from your school. They said I was using... My wedding ring was a ring for miracles. Most of those are professors that are professors now. They were the ones that were spreading that news. I didn't want to tell you that you will have opposition when you go for us to do the crusade in Union. You saw what happened? All the opposition. It was because of all those things. But that day, you know, that first night declared all the doubts. First night. How many deaf people heard that night? About 7 deaf people, including one guy that was born deaf on this year. 19 years old, 19 years deaf. And his ears open. We have saved life. If we tell you otherwise, it's a lie. Maybe we are trying to form false humility. I have seen Jesus. He was happy about me. He told me the future. He told me what we need to do in this season. Hallelujah. I've seen the Holy Spirit. He has shown me his form before. On this campus. I've seen him twice. You have heard about him. Me. I have seen him twice. So we are not boasting. We cannot but speak about the things that we have seen and heard. That guy became filled with the Holy Ghost. Did all night vigil for 3 nights. And I came in early in the morning to discharge him. The guy was from your school. He came back to your school. And he graduated from your school. Oh, you are aware? That was the most dramatic picture from death to life. And that scripture you quoted, it was my message you were preaching. And in all of the landscape of scripture, there was an opportunity, a moment where Jesus stood at the borderline of death. It was at the tomb of Lazarus. That was life standing. And where he was standing was at the borderline of death. It was an occasion for us to know which kingdom was superior. Because the ultimate power that Satan had was death. And that day, that power was going to be put to the test. And the Lord of life stood at the foot of the grave of Lazarus. Aika Masula. What decree did he give to Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. Now, notice the instruction was what? Come forth. Come forth. Now, and you know those days, if you were going to be buried, you had to be embalmed in a particular way, and you were wrapped. So the possibility of walking out was ruled out. But the instruction was, comfort. Lazarus did not walk out. That word brought him out. Because he couldn't walk. His legs were fasting. Do you understand that? He was a mummy. His legs were fasting. His hands were fasting. He did, okay, even if his legs were released, his hands were not open to give him the balance to walk. That word brought him out of Hades. Put his spirit back into his body. Raised him up and brought him forth. Now, that happened without taking permission from the devil. Tonight, Jesus is saying, come forth. I don't know how much of death you have experienced. First of all, it started like an excitement in a party hall, and you went and disversioned yourself. And that was the first time, second time, third time, fourth time. At some point, it will become spiritual. Sex will become spiritual. It will become like a drug. Something that if you don't take, you'll not be normal. Just like someone that is on dope needs to take dope so that he can reason well. You need to take sex so that you can be normal. At that time, it's a drug. It's a radical inferno. But Jesus today says, comfort. And the Bible says, and he that was dead came forth. I don't care where you have been entangled, what is holding you down. Maybe there's a curse in your family. You served the devil half of your life. Then came to campus to continue his service. And today you happen to be in this place. Jesus is saying, Lazarus. Lazarus, comfort, comfort. I remember I was invited to preach somewhere in the southern part of Africa. And when I was cleared from the immigration, from the central city to the place where the crusade was about 5 hours' drive. And I got into the city, I told the people back at home to provide prayer cover. Never knew the kind of darkness I was going to meet. It was darkness beyond what I've ever seen in Nigeria. I preached in Calabar. That's where they say witchcraft has its base. I preached in Benin, in the stadium. And the Holy Spirit hit the stadium. He hit the stadium, I could not preach again. I had to be whisked out. Security people had to whisk me out from the stadium. I saw grace come out of my body. My clothes could heal in Benin. Hallelujah. So and those are the possibly those are the worst places we have. Benin, Calabar, Jalingo. Those are the worst places. Environmentally. The demonic pressure is intense. If you don't have a calling, don't go to Jalingo. You won't come back. You come back with an affliction. Death will begin to walk a protocol in your life. But you see, all of these cities I've mentioned is nothing compared to Mzimba. Mzimba. Oh my God. we were writing. I was praying in tongues. I was praying in tongues. That was a place that I was given the greatest salutation as a preacher. Because as we were coming into the city, pastors stood on the roadside, this side, that side, and they were waving the man of God. And I was asking my host, are we under attack? He said, no. The pastors of the land have come to welcome the man of God. Oh, I said, my God. You know, I was seeing the wrong things. As they were waving me, I was accepting their waving. I was saying, oh my God, there's glory in the gospel. I was seeing the wrong things. I didn't know I was entering the dragon. They say, welcome, welcome. Have you heard of the scripture that says, them that sit under the shadow of death? That was where I was going. A city where death casted a shadow. And they were with me. When I came, as I came to the church, some small children, like my daughter, they carried flowers like this. They say, I didn't even hear what they were saying. Yeah. They were hungry. So they were starved. Their utterance was not audible. Was not. I couldn't hear what they were saying. But I collected their flowers and gave the person that was following. Another person that had listened to my message, he also came to the airport when I was showing up. So I was giving him all the flowers. Then when I came to the pulpit, they shouted, wow! To open my scripture, they brought a crippled boy from the back there. That's it. Start with this one. The reason for the salutation was, anywhere your God is, call him. We are in debt. We are in debt. But you can start here. You can start. Now, I pretended as if I did not see that guy there. I just went back to my scripture. And when he, the spirit of truth, is come, my interpreter will interpret. And I continue teaching. Then life began to come. Life. Now this guy was not only crippled. His legs were twisted threefold. And while life started coming and life alighted upon him, meanwhile, I didn't know what was happening to him. The legs began to come back to normal gradually, like this, slow motion. And some people stood up. I was wondering why they were standing up in the congregation. Only for me to turn back. The boy that was sitting one kind, he was standing now. No, see, he was not healed yet. He was just standing. But he could not walk. That somebody can open his mouth, but he can't talk. You know, at that point, you know, the next thing to say is, walk! But you know what? In 2009, I did not have the liver to tell somebody to walk. That's how many years ago. No, I didn't have that liver. So the walk was here, but it didn't come out. Until the pastor that invited me rose up from his seat when he saw that the guy was standing, and he touched my seat. Man of God, that touch, he touched me. The walk that was here now came out. That was how I said, walk! It was not me, that it was an accidental walk. And the young man started walking. As that young man started walking, five crippled people in the hall released their stick and they started walking. As those five people started walking, miracles began to break out. That was the first time in my ministry. Meanwhile, I was more powerful that day than yesterday. That day, anything I say came to pass. Anything. Just anything came to pass. Was it HIV? The wisdom to heal HIV that day was that I should take the bottled water that they gave me and I put it in a glass cup. I said, take a shot. If this one takes a shot, it faster. This one takes a shot, it faster. This one takes a shot, it faster. This one. They were taking all of, see, there is a hospital behind the crusade ground. They went for tests. Negative. It was life came into that place. We were going for baptism. About so many people have given their life to Christ, so we're going to for baptism. They were singing a song. Me and the pastor were in the front, and when we got to the river, the gift of faith was activated, and I entered there. I said, Lord, just like your angel came and visited that pool that was at Bethesda, steady, it became a miracle pool, heal with this pool today. That prayer I prayed by 12 noon. That water healed till 4 p.m. 4 p.m. that day. We had finished the meeting. We were going. They were taking me back to the headquarters to fly by 8 p.m. My flight was 11 p.m. So by 8 p.m., we had reached the headquarters to go to the airport. And then the driver now said, Pastor, this is my father-in-law's house. Can we visit him? I said, why not? We entered there. I said, good evening, sir. The man didn't answer. Good evening. He didn't answer. Then I realized he was deaf. Ah. Then I touched him. I say, Jesus. Jesus can make you heal. I was saying, this your ear will hear. When I did like this, this your ear, the ear open. Without prayer. And the man started hearing me. He turned and faced me. I can hear. I said, we have not prayed yet. He said, I can hear. Oh. Then he started dancing. Then I saw his wife. His wife was happy, but she could not stand up. Then I discovered she was crippled. Then I prayed for her, held her, raised her up. The woman started walking. The man was jumping. The wife was jumping. Then the son now came from a door here. And the son said, oh, this false prophet again. He said it in his heart. And I heard it in my ear. Then I went to him. I said, you call me false prophet. He denied. I blew air on him. He was slain. I left him there. The driver, he cried till we reached the airport. And when I entered the plane, he sent me WhatsApp. That WhatsApp face of a crying man. He sent me that. Then I sent him the one of a laughing man. Life came into that family for 15 minutes. Everything that was dead, he came back. That was what Jesus did to Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Tonight is a night of coming forth. We'll send a decree from here. We're standing at the borderline. Maybe there's death in your family. We're about to say, come forth. Maybe darkness has been reigning. Darkness has taken the center stage. We stand at the borderline with a message from life. Come forth! You know, yesterday the message was, come out. But today, the message is what? It's come forth. Just in case you are here and there are several things that you want God to begin to implement the policy of comfort upon, can you raise a prayer to Him right now? Samina pronte ne ese ne preheta babore mama mama. Sani nambon dale sobrande gaskai la monseli mane. Sani nana pronde se kede kele tu moregela. Sami nambran saye kombre amaradali masande mo. Oh, salina tebres covene hende lamina gole. Samina brantaye cosanima, eka mama marabova. Samina lentoria mama seli, e la babanama.
Shamina Braskai Labobo, Ikamansela Monsalima. Hallelujah! 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 Zena lambros que mabade.
Aleluya.
Amela de mosha en la bros que mabade.
Just told me now, he said one of the reasons why he set up this school is that he wants to recruit missionaries that will take the gospel outside of this nation. That's what Jesus just said. And this is not the first time he's telling me this. He just brought it to my remembrance. He said this will be the training ground, the place. You know, the anointing that came on David was a kingly anointing, so he took him to the palace. So if God wants to take you to a place, he gives you an anointing. If it's an international ministry anointing, that's where it will take you. Most of these people we are seeing have already started international ministry. These people. It was here that God encampment. I saw you, Reverend Hughes. I saw you just when Jesus was telling me that. I saw you. All right. You are going to have a very conspicuous international ministry.
Aye.
Very notable. Very notable international ministry. If you are in this place tonight, and the protocol of death has been walking around your life. Sin. Darkness. You know literally that you are under the dominion of the devil. And it has been like that for a long, long time. Jesus stands at the foot, the borderline of life and death. And he wants to utter a decree concerning your life. Comfort. That's his decree. You can come out of that stranglehold. You can come out of that cage. You can come out of that bondage. Because Jesus sets you free tonight. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. In a moment of time, if you want to tell Jesus and say, I've been running for too long, I want to stand with you now. Being attending church, playing church, doing all of that, I want to identify, I want to cut covenant with you. If if that's what you are saying, put your left hand on your chest. Can we stop praying so that we can allow this moment for people to commune with their pure heart as the Holy Spirit knocks upon it? If you are saying you want to end the rat race so that you can begin the right race, put your left hand on your chest. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me in this broken world, I will be ashamed of you in the kingdom of my Father. Your left hand on your chest. Forget about who is standing by your side. Maybe they know you to be the sparkle of the campus. All that, it dies. It dries up right now. Your left hand on your chest and your right hand up as you identify with Jesus. He said, today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Every protocol of death that has been activated in your life can be reversed because the living Christ himself has come to stand on the borderline. If you are there in the congregation, don't allow Satan win the argument over your soul. Your left hand on your chest and your right hand up. If your right hand is up, walk out from your seat, come to me here. I need to break a yoke from your life so that I can deliver you unto Jesus. Walk out from your seat and come down here. Jesus calls you. Jesus calls you tonight. Keep clapping as they come out. It is time for you to rebel against the devil. Rebel against the kingdom of darkness. Satan has no good plan for you. He wants to waste you. He wants to waste you. Rebel against him. Anywhere you are standing, anywhere you are sitting, you can walk out and say, tonight I regain my masculinity. I rebel against the devil so that I can start afresh with Jesus. Keep clapping as they come. I salute you. I salute you. I salute you. Say no to Satan. No to Satan. He has nothing to offer. He has nothing to give. No to Satan. No to Satan. No to immorality. No to lesbianism. No to homosexualism. No to fornication. I want life. I want life now. I want a taste of life. The revival of my spirit. The revitalization of my mind. I want life to take a hold of me. Keep coming. Keep coming. Don't allow the devil win the argument over your soul. I want life. 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 If that's what you're saying, you can come down. Jesus stands on the borderline. He stands on the borderline. He's about to give a decree. Come for life. Come for life. I know your dad is a pastor, but you have lived like a son of Satan. Tonight you can come for life. Come for life. You grew up in a Christian home, but you came to campus and you became a daughter of the devil. Tonight break covenant with the kingdom of darkness and come for life. Come for life. Come for life. Yes, keep clapping. I'm waiting for 8 people. Now waiting for 7 people. Now 6 people. Come for life. This was where God encountered us. And so we come back to where it all started. To testify of the covenant that God has cut with us. Many years now, God has been faithful. We come to proclaim his faithfulness. That our brethren, our brothers, our sisters might come into life. Because God has chosen this campus to be a place where he will harvest men. To take him to places that he has not entered. Come for life. Maybe God has called him into this place at such a time as this. For those of you standing in the front, can you say, Jesus, have mercy? Talk to Jesus. Ask him to have mercy. All the opportunities he gave you, all the benefits, all the talents, the endowments he gave you. The devil knows nothing but death, and he has submerged all the talents into death. He's reviving death in your life. Your thoughts have been polluted. Your vessel have been polluted. Your mind harbors heinous things. Your hands have touched things that are abominable. But tonight you come so that life can speak over you and break the protocol of death and begin a new civilization. Call Jesus and ask him to take over.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
There is a young man in the congregation that is supposed to come out now. Jesus has been knocking your heart. Jesus has been knocking your heart. Today is your day. A young man, you are from the medical school, and Jesus wants to take you over tonight. Please don't stay back. It's your time. You can walk out of your seat and join us. You are from the medical school. A young man, Jesus is calling. He cries, oh my God, Lord, deliver this young man. You are from the medical school. Please come down here. Jesus is calling you. I see you in the spirit. He calls you with a cry. With a cry. His hand is on your life. He said, come home. For your life, and he will make out of you a great nation. We once passed through this place and we encountered this reality. Now we are taking this reality to the nations of the world, breaking yokes of darkness. That's what he wants to do with the life of every serious believer, with your life, with my life. Hallelujah. I want to invite you to talk to Jesus, the great monarch of Zion. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I can't hear you. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I accept that I'm a sinner. I ask for your mercy. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Give me the power to live for you
Every covenant I entered into, knowingly or unknowingly, tonight I renounce it. Let its power over my soul be broken. I declare my release from the tyranny of the devil. I declare my release from the bondage of sin. I declare my release from the manipulation of the devil. Tonight, I surrender. Take over. Begin afresh with me. Be my Lord. Be my master. From this day henceforth and forever. In Jesus' name. Listen, Jesus is going to give you a gift now. A gift. He will speak in tongues now. You don't need to know what to do. Okay, so they are already speaking in tongues. Whether they teach it in your church or not, you will speak in tongues now. Can you ask him to fill you with his spirit? Just ask him. Say, give me your spirit. Give me your spirit. And if you are in the congregation and you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, anywhere you are, you can ask him, fill me. Fill me with your spirit. These are the days of revival. And the Holy Ghost is willing. Fill me. Fill me. He's already filling people. He's already filling them. Father, fill them. Yes, the fire is catching already. Fire is catching. It's catching. It's catching. It's catching already. It's catching already. It's catching already. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you fill this, your sons and daughters, with your spirit. An utterance will soon begin to come. When it comes, you speak. Fill them. Fill them. Fill them. Okay, it's coming. Stronger. It's coming. Be bold. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Fill them. Fill them with your spirit. Fill them with your spirit. Zaoke palahantolia. Braka mashika brasketo masala babotekala. Yes, yes, be bold about it. Be bold about that utterance. Be bold about it. Zebokate meneketelia. Brante sokopa kapata namakatale. Embra masukabra hata kabalata. Bronsena zika mantolia. Brekota bakayato sebarita. Raboskese nasetoba. Branta. Be bold. Be bold and speak it out. Be bold. Don't be ashamed of the person by your side. Robena Sita Bantelia. Roskete Masandoro Kopo. Braso Kabayato Nasaka Banda Babolata. Rabashanda, Rabashanda. Rakapata la Babota Kabalata. Be bold about it. Be bold about it. Rakoseke matala. Brosenda yika semotabe natalia takamban sanda. Roskete masuka ba. Roskete malatoka balata. Let it flow out of your belly. Let it flow out. Let it flow out. Let it flow out. Let it flow out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let it flow out. Let it flow out. Let it flow out. Let it flow. Let it flow. 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 Glow, glow, glow. Come on, Samantha, Labarata, Masayi.
Praskatala baboja nate prante. Govre sosom bahala praskata. Likabanza mata pranta baboze nate. Ebakababa tabarata basaita. Kobena!
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
Listen to me. Don't ever stop speaking in tongues. In the night, in the morning, before you go out, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now listen, listen. Two of you, Jesus will give a gift to two of you. And then Jesus will break a yoke from two of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, transmit a spiritual gift to those two people you showed me. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. His hand will touch two people. That's number one. His hand will touch two people. Father, help me find the second person. 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 Yes, he has given some gifts. Now he wants to break a yoke. Break that yoke, Lord. Break that yoke. Break that yoke. Break that yoke. Break that yoke. Break it now. Break it now. Loose her. 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 In the name of Jesus.
Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Where's the counselor? Sorry, my guest. Can you go this way? Then take your name and your phone number. Then you join us for the miracle service. The miracle service will commence in the next 15 minutes. Now, bring those ladies for me. Bring them up. Yeah, just leave. Forget about the ladies. Just pass. Yeah. Bring that lady. Yeah, on stage here. Okay, Reverend. Okay. These are your people now. Is there any lady here that is very prayerful? Help me find that one. This one. Come. I'll transmit some power to you, then you will help me minister. Now, come. Come and see this demon. Come. The demon is on that lady's chest. So lay hand on her chest. The people that trained us say we should not touch ladies. We should only here and here. So, the chest. Chest. Touch that chest and cast it out. Touch her chest. It's a demon. Yes. The demon of asthma. It will come out now. Come out. You come. This one, the demon is on an umbilical cord. Look for it. Put your hand there. Demon will come out. Come. Put your hand on an umbilical cord there. Cast out that spirit. Can we sing that song? Yes, command the demon to come out. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. to minister to the territory. God has released the authority for us to close the doors that were open. Number one, that door open that makes it possible for people that have served Jesus to die. Chip Don, I saw you. Come and close it. There is a covenant that God caught with us many years ago while we're here, that power evangelists will come out of Benue State University. This is one of them. So release, activate that covenant.
Hallelujah.
In the hostel, in the classroom, morning cries. We started with morning cries. Prayer and morning cries. Prayer and morning cries. Prayer and morning cries. We saw people come from the hostel to give their life to Christ outside. All kinds of things began to happen. Cultists began to turn to light. There are 25 people. 25 people. Father Lord, on my left hand side and on my right hand side, to the back, to the side, help me find the 25 evangelists, fiery evangelists that you are raising out of this meeting. 25 of them. Holy Spirit, anywhere they are, help me. Help me. Locate them. 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 There are 25. There are 25 of them. 25 of them. 25 of them. 25 of them. 25. Anywhere they are, locate them. You will not be able to keep quiet. The word of God will burn in your heart like a fire. There are 25 of them. The Holy Ghost will not stop until he has found 25 of them. He will not stop. He will not stop. He will not stop. He will not stop. Oh my God. He's coming stronger. 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 Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Move. There are 25. Please help me. When they become 25, you let me know so that I'll stop. 25 of them. No, I didn't say bring them up here, please. Just leave them down. 25 of them. Bring them down here. Bring them down here, ushers. 25 of them. 25 of them. 25 of them. 25. 25. Five of them. There are 25 of them. 25 of them. Evangelists. He calls you by fire. He calls you by fire. He calls you by fire. There are 25 of them. There are 25 of them. There will be a flame. A flame will be burning. The Spirit will come upon him.
27 intercessors. 27 intercessors. God, we give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that when you see, when you are praying, you'll be seeing demonic activity being dislodged. You will see the power of the Holy Spirit at work. There are 27 of them. Holy Ghost, anywhere they are, locate them, 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 by fire, by fire, by fire, locate them. And the hand of God is coming down. It's coming down strong. It's coming down strong. It's coming down strong. Everywhere around the hall. Intercessors, the grace that was upon Elijah that made him have a popular nature, that grace, it comes upon the sons and the daughters of men. The Lord will empower you. He will open a door over your life through your prayer. He will bring a visitation to your family. And the stranglehold of darkness that has bedeviled that family for many generations will be broken. The fires of Elijah. Yes, the fire of Elijah comes upon you. Glory. Listen to me now. Okay. I want to give you something. Many years ago. Oh. Glory. Let your people be soaked in the spirit of intercession, of supplication. Give them stamina. Give them stamina. Give them capacity to tarry, to stay in your presence, to war, to battle, until the dominion of darkness is destroyed. Oh my God. Let your sons, let your daughters in our midst become mighty in prayer and in spirit. Women with a strong spirit that will never take no for an answer. That that grace might be released upon your people. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I don't know how to proceed. But maybe we can. The ones that the Lord has dealt with, they can go. If God has finished with you, you can go. The ones that the Lord is still dealing with, just leave them. The ones that the Lord has finished with, let them go. Listen. In the year 2000, I was in the Y2K set, 2000. In the year 2000, God came and he got a covenant that from every academic generation he will come to construct missionaries, apostolic people, men and women that will pour out his grace upon. Tonight, I want to ask him to remember that covenant, so that such as I have, may he give you. There are seven wise men that will tap into that grace. It's a grace that requires selflessness to operate, but it will take you to places nobody in your family has ever gone. These men you are seeing, these men, they have drank of that grace. Now I want to pray a prayer, so that such as I've received from God, he might give to you. But there are seven men that will drink fully of this grace. Ayakulama. Ayakula leskombra hatala. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us pray. You can identify by raising your right hand to connect with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask tonight for everyone whose heart is open, let the ancient covenant that you gave to us in our time, let it come alive again. That your spirit might descend in our midst and pass the scepter to anyone whose heart is open. That you will raise men and women unto yourself to do your will for your glory. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, even such as you will send into the houses of parliament to bring righteous legislation, so that this nation can fulfill her prophetic destiny. I ask, O God, look from among your people such whose hearts are right, and choose them for this honor. Choose them. Choose them. Seven men and women in this congregation, that your mighty hand might reach out to them. Such as I have, I give you. Such as I have, I give you. Such as I have, I give you. By the Spirit of God, your land be broken. Let deliverers, let saviors, let the strong, let great women like Deborah rise from among you. Rise from among you. Such as I have from God. Such as I have from God. I give you. I give you. In the name of Jesus.
Roske Baba Natale Mokoria Barita.
We approach the altar of lesbianism. We break the yoke of lesbianism on the campus. We command that demon of perversion be gone in the name of Jesus. Let the scepter of the homosexuals be broken. Let the plant of occultism dry up. We proclaim a new order in which there is righteousness, in which there is holiness, where the fear of God would descend upon the people. We proclaim tonight that your hand will never leave your people. We pray for every strategic kingdom lecturer that you have put in place to defend your cause in every department. Let your strong hand raise them up into places of influence on this campus. In the name of Jesus. From today, let life come in place of death. Let light come in place of darkness. Be as you be free in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now I want to pray for the sick. For 5 minutes. Anywhere you are sick in your body, put your hand there. Now. Now. Asthma will jump out. Glaucoma will jump out. Paralysis will jump out. Deafness will jump out. Hey, I forgot. Before we pray for the sick, can you stretch your hand to the campus and release the power of God to the medical school, the first camp, second camp, off camp. Medical school, first camp, second camp, off camp, staff quarters. Release the power of God tonight to soak the environment, to take over the environment, to subdue any altar of the devil, any altar of immorality. To subdue it. We take the land back from the devil. We take it back from the lesbians. Take it back from the homosexuals. We take it back from the cultists. We proclaim the Lordship of Jesus on the first camp, on the second camp, off campus, medical school. Let the culture of sin die. Let the culture of sin die. Let this place become a place for life, for righteousness. Let this place become a center of kingdom activity. Let men come here and collide with Jesus. Collide with salvation. Collide with deliverance. Let it be a theater for the manifestation of the grace of God. We saturate the environment with the Holy Ghost. Those in need of power in the hostels, let the power of God begin to work
in the female hostel, in the male hostel, off campus, the medical school. Gloria, mama, mama. We proclaim your deliverance, O BSU. Your time has come. Your window has come. Arise, BSU. Shine, shine. For the grace of God has been given unto you. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Two times. It shall be done unto you. Any sickness, is it an everlasting migraine? It will see its end tonight. Strange menstrual cramps that are not from God, it will see its end tonight. Deposits, curses, spirits walking out against your destiny, it will see its end tonight. All right. In the name of Jesus. I can't hear you. I say, in the name of Jesus. Oy. In the name of Jesus. Now I see a young man. You've been struggling with your academics. You are diligent. You study. But you failed. Meanwhile, in your secondary school, you were a flying man of excellence. What is happening to you is demonic. Where is that young man? You are in 300 level. 300 level. Where is the young man? You are in 300 level. Yeah, 300 level. The person I speak of. You were an excellent man in secondary school, don't worry, I'm okay. You are so many. All right, hallelujah. You are in 300 level. Now, listen, don't worry about the shout. You can stop praying, don't worry. I know you have been praying for long, it didn't help. The prayer didn't help, so calm down. Listen, I'm going to pray for you just in 2 seconds, 3 seconds. And this exam you're about to write a few days from now will be your acid test. Can you take that young man outside? Just take him outside. Take him. Take him outside. Take him outside. Okay. No. He is in need of intensive care. The general pool will not do. So we have to create a habitat for him. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I break this yoke. I banish this demon. And I release their capacities. In Jesus' name. Go back. You will check it in a few days. You have the exams. Check. You will test this prayer. In the name of Jesus. You know, when you shout like that, when you say amen, then my eyes open. Now,
I see someone. Yesterday night you had a dream and somebody threatened you with death. Yesterday night. Where are you? Yesterday night you had a dream and in the dream somebody threatened you with death. Where are you? Come quickly. Yeah, I see that in the spirit. I see that. See that. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Yesterday night, I see. So want to erase that. Want to erase that quickly. Oh my God. Want to erase that. Want to erase that. Yesterday night. It's not of God. It's not of God. It's not of God. It's not of God. Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus and said, come forth. Thank you, Jesus. Now you can stop praying. Just stop praying. Don't worry. Don't worry. You're already here. Are you part of the people praying? You're an usher. All right. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you place your hand on your people. Place your hand on your people. Let this threat of death be dissolved. I dissolve it. Yeah, I dissolve it. Now the power of God will come on one of you as a sign that God has answered. Lord, show me the sign. Yeah, it comes now. Show me the sign. Stronger. Show me the sign. Stronger. Show me the sign. Yes. The covenant is broken. The covenant is broken. It's broken. You are released. You are released. I proclaim your liberty. I proclaim your freedom. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, there's somebody feeling something. I see something is being poured on you. I see something is being poured on you. It's being poured on you. It's being poured on you. The yoke is being broken. The yoke is being broken. It's being broken. Loose her! Now, where's that lady that used to help me? Come. I see a demon. I see a demon. Okay, go down, go down. Go down. There's a demon. Yes, can you? It's on her umbilical cord. That's where it's. Can you touch it and cast it out? Touch it. Touch it. Yes, it's coming out now. It's coming out now. It's coming out now. Now, okay, these ladies have not been educated. Touch this lady. Let me educate her. When you are ushering, and if demons need to come out, their hands must not touch. Have you heard that? So you separate the hands. Okay, see, you made it difficult. Okay, yeah, yeah. She's free now. She's free. Now you can go back. Oy! You see this lady? You know what happened? They took, somebody took a white handkerchief when she was sleeping. Covered her face like this. That's what they use in necromancy to shut down the destinies of people. Sometimes when people die, they will use that white handkerchief to cover the face of the dead and then take it away. They will use the face of that person to witch hunt people in that family. I don't have time for all of that. It's not today. Hills, one of your pastors that is female, call the person. Oh, you are. Come down. Lay hands on her. Cover her eyes. Let me speak. Cover her eyes. Okay. I command that which you have taken. That which you have taken. Return it. Return it. Return it. Return it. Return it. Return it. Okay. Come forth with it. Come forth with it. Yes, yes, yes. It's returning it now. You see, some of you are going to school, but what it takes to succeed was taken from you. You are just labor. You are full of activity. Just. You know, I was functioning as a teacher for a long time before the prophetic came, and it was a great contradiction. The first contradiction I experienced, because I was a teacher of faith, I was a new creation realities teacher, I taught it more than people boasting. Then when I started seeing, then the first thing I discovered is that believers can be demonized. It was a contradiction. Not possessed, but what? Demon. I saw many things in the spirit, which if I tell you, some of you, no, you can't handle it. There are secrets that are not lawful to utter. I had to throw my Bible school notes away and start and beg the Holy Spirit to help me study the Bible. When I began to teach, my teachers, all right, were offended. Then I didn't know what I was teaching was the kingdom. I saw that the sum total of Christianity was going to be manifest in our loyalty to God. You can be a pastor and a witch can subdue you. Yes. Whether or not darkness subdues light is dependent on how submissive we are to our masters. If someone that serves the devil is submissive to, more submissive to Satan than you are to Jesus, he will bind you. And I've seen it many times, even on this campus. There were people that their sane mind were taken from them because they went to collide with somebody that was more submissive to Satan. The agents of darkness that don't sleep from 2 a.m. till 5 a.m. till when the womb of the morning opens, because they are raining incantations. You don't have a disciplined spiritual life, you are going to confront the person. I know you have light, but your own light will not manifest as superior, because you are in violation to your master in terms of submission. Are you with me? Many things began to change. I started seeing pastors that were bound. People that preach prosperity that are poor. And I went into the wilderness for 10 years, searching the Bible and talking to God. So she just got her life back. This lady now. She got her life back. Now, just in case you are here and your life has been taken away, there's one way we can find out. Just please obey me. Take your hand at this. Cover your eyes. Blindfold your eyes. Except the ushers. Ushers, don't worry. No, you see, you don't need to start. My prayer works even if you are sitting down. If you are more comfortable sitting down, sit down. Nobody says stand up. If you want to stand up, no problem. Right? But you must not stand up. It doesn't make you more ready. Some people, the standing up is a distraction. You were okay when you were sitting there. Father, ushers, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight, if there is anyone that demons have been dispatched to torment, and there's been some demonic manipulation around their lives, even though they are believers, if there are any such people here, help me touch them. No, don't answer. Just stay. Just be quiet. Touch them. Okay, he's coming on one person. He's coming on one person. Yeah? Touch them. Touch them. Now, ushers, just bring them quietly. We need to do some deliverance here. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them. Now, see, I'm seeing something. I don't know how much time we have today. Someone was born. You were born on a Saturday. And when you were born, your umbilical cord was left until Sunday. In order for you to come into alignment with a certain demonic pattern, your umbilical cord was removed on Sunday. And when it was removed, it was taken to a river. And a covenant was cut with a water goddess. And you are here. God will make you vibrate. He will make you vibrate now. You will vibrate. You will vibrate. You will vibrate. And you know, when you are pastoring such a person, it will look as if your message is not true.
Everybody's life is changed. That person is bound. Let the person vibrate. Let the person vibrate. Let the person vibrate. There are about 7 of them. Yeah, you see, these are, where are the female pastors? Come, come. Yeah. Will you, can you give me 30 more minutes? 30 more minutes? Huh? Because we need to do cleanup. This is what we call sanitation. Sanitation. Where are the female ministers? Doctor? Mommy, hallelujah. My wife? And the pastors, female pastors, do me a favor, touch them, one minister per person, touch them at the umbilical cord, and command the spirit to restore that which has been taken. Now listen, there are 2 ladies here. Demons came and tampered with your womb. Anywhere you are, there will be a vibration, a vibration, a vibration, a vibration, a vibration. For those of you that are listening online, watching through live streaming and on Facebook, that are held up by bondages of the devil, right now, I release the power of God to Scotland. I release the power of God to United States of America. I release the power of God to South Africa. Anywhere you are listening online, let the yoke of the devil on your life be broken in the name of Jesus. Woo. There's somebody listening online. Your name is Napoleon. Napoleon. And another person, John. And the power of God is coming upon you where you are. Napoleon and John. Napoleon and John. Command up what was taken away to be restored. Yes. Touch our umbilical cord right there. Usher. Yeah. Touch our umbilical cord. Command the spirit to go. Command it to go. Command it to go. Command it to go. Lift them in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how skilled you are with the scriptures. If the people you are pastoring are demonized, you are wasting your time. Let the yoke break. Anything you took from them, I command you, restore it. Restore it. Restore it. Hallelujah. There's a young man in the congregation. Your brain was tampered with. Your brain. You will feel 7 vibrations now. 7 vibrations. 7 vibrations. Aha, the vibrations have started. If you are beginning to send vibrations on your head, oh young man, just wave. Vibrations. Movements. Movements. Where's the young man? Movement. There's a movement. Movement. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. 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 Yes, young man, you are free. The next exam you write will show you that you are back. This is good. Can we shout again in the name of Jesus? Whoa, 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 whoa. There are 4 people here. Satan took something from you. 2 of them will manifest
and two of them will receive a sign. Father, help me find them. Help me find them. Help me find them. Help me find them. Okay, he's coming now. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. So that which the devil took can be restored. Father, let there be a restoration. Let there be a restoration. Let there be a restoration. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Listen, somebody here, you had a spiritual gift that you lost. It's not because you fell into sin, the thing just stopped. Where are you? You didn't fall into sin, the thing just come. Run, 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 sister. Quickly. Alright. Run, run, run. You're wasting time. Now, I see the angel of fire. So one of you will be caught up in fire. Caught up in flames. One of you will be caught up now. Be caught up now. Flames. Fire. 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 Pastor. Touch this girl on her head. Let flames. Flames, flames, flames from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Fire. Let that gift come back tenfold in the name of Jesus Christ. Go back. In the name of Jesus. Oh my. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I rebuke every spirit of infirmity, every sickness, every paralysis, every deafness, every dumbness, every blindness, asthma, ulcer, infirmities with the eyes. I rebuke you. I command the demons, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, in the name of Jesus Christ. Whoa. Maya tole barita mansala. Somebody in the hall, you had an accident, you used crutches. Use crutches for a season. And then you became well. And you stopped using the crutches. And now I'm seeing that the pains are coming back. Where's that person? The pains are coming back. Where's that person? You use crutches for a season. You use crutches for a season. Now the pains are coming back. Where are you? Run here. Run here. Run here now. Oh my God. Where are you? Alright. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command the headaches to go, the pains to go, the infirmities to go in the name of Jesus Christ. You use crutches after an accident. The devil wants to give you the crutches back. You have 5 seconds to respond. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, I command every symptom of paralysis to begin to dry up. 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 I bind the spirit of paralysis in the name of Jesus Christ. I command the pain. Go! In Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Check your body here. Check now. Check it now. Don't go. Don't go. Stay there. Check now. Is your own still there? Check where. Give them a mic. Give them a mic. If it's there, say it's there, oh,
I'm
Pastor.
Feeling well, very well. I'm feeling well, sir.
Your own has gone. All right. Yes, ask her. Check very well.
I'm okay.
You're okay now. Okay.
Okay. It's actually seasonal. I didn't come.
Okay. All right. Give it 3 months. Give it 3 months. Yes.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
She's okay.
She's okay now.
All right. Every yoke is broken in the name of Jesus. I release you from bondage, and I release you into your destiny. May the hand of God be upon you continually.
Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Keep celebrating Jesus. Please don't rush to go. Don't rush to go. He's not going yet. Please sit down quietly and take the following notices. Sit down quietly.